You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Angels, in addition to a lot of other teams, are starting to look towards 2017, but there are still some interesting things going on with them this year, namely what's going on with Tim Lincecum. So let's talk about that. I'm Allison Schroeder. I'm here with Tracy Ringlesby, our special guest. Tracy, you know, you've covered this game for a long time, and you've seen a lot of, obviously the ends of a lot of careers and guys who are prematurely hurt and really can't come back. I think everyone's rooting for Tim Lincecum to be able to eventually get back to what he was, which was one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. But the Angels want him to go down to AAA and sort of try to get it together. I mean, when you were just following along with what's going on with Lincecum, I mean, what's your general reaction? Do you think that he can resurrect his career and be a major league pitcher again someday?
Well, you hope so. And you know, the thing is, he set out so long before he was ready to try out for teams that you wonder if maybe just all the rehab work and that took a while before he could get the command the way he needed to have it. So I think the fact his commitment is pretty strong, and that's evidenced by the fact he agreed to take that minor league assignment. I mean, he instead of saying, well, I'll go find another team that wants to give me a chance, he was willing to say, you know, you guys stuck your hand out. We made an agreement. I came. It didn't work out. I mean, 11 home runs and 38 in the third innings, and he didn't pitch at Coors Field. You know, it's a type of thing where he realizes that that's not the level he's used to pitching, and he wanted to do something different about it. So, you know, the determination's there. He's still, 32 years old, so it's not like
32.
He should be done. And we'll just see. I mean, it's not like there's ever been any major surgery or anything that should be a problem, but he just lost, I think as much as anything, he lost his command. He doesn't throw strikes the way he used to throw strikes, and so that's got to be a concern for him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, he turned 32 in June, and that's what would be, like, really a shame, is he's probably he could have 3, 4, 5 more years if he was healthy, but I know a lot of, like, scouts and just observers, when they look at, like, somebody with his body type, that he's very slightly built, he's a smaller guy, and they always feel like, you know, that indicates that it could be a shorter career. I mean, through, like, my years at the Astros, people thought that Roy Oswalt could be, in danger of not being able to have a long career because of his build, which sounds really silly now.
Right. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess, why is that?
Well, I think usually that's more with a thicker bodied guy, you know, and with Tim and Oswalt, they were like Pedro, you know, they were thinner, looser bodied, so they didn't have the tightness that a lot of times happens with a shorter right-hander. Like a Billy Swift was much stockier in his upper body. The other thing about Lincecum is he's double jointed, and I think that's what teams looked at when they said, you know, we'll take a chance on him and draft him, as opposed to the teams that shied away from him. It's, you know, he's double jointed, he's loose bodied, and so he shouldn't put quite as much strain. I think generally with the right handers that are under 6 feet tall, they just feel like there's such a physical demand for them to get over top and release the ball that they seem to not have the durability that others have.
So when you look at the Angels, just as an observer, I would talk a lot about this with Aldin Gonzalez, just the staggering number of injuries that have hit that pitching staff. I mean, they started spring training with like 8 pitchers, and then they got to the point where they didn't even have enough to field a rotation. And, you know, not pointing fingers like saying that this is the organization's fault or anything, but at the same time, does that strike you as odd that there were so many pitchers who went down?
Yeah, because the strength you thought they had coming into spring training was their depth in their rotation. That's why you felt like they had a chance to push their way through. But, you know, it became obvious quickly that C.J. Wilson wasn't going to be ready at all. And the questions about Weaver, the fact Weaver's been able to go out and make his starts has probably been the biggest surprise there, because he's nowhere near the pitcher he once was. I mean, he's a low 80s type guy. He's having to make the right-handed Frank Tanana transition from being a power pitcher who could just go up and do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, to learn how to be a finesse pitcher. And I think that the biggest thing that someone like Weaver has to come to grips with is, I remember talking to Tanana late in his career, and I said, okay, how did you turn it around? What happened that you finally were able to be successful, you know, as a finesse guy? And he goes, I realized that I had to pitch the same way if I threw 82 as I did when I threw 95. I still had to pitch inside. I just had to pitch inside more so that if I made a mistake, it didn't go over the middle of the plate. But I could not just live on the outside part of the plate or I was going to get killed. And I think that for a guy that was a hard thrower, that's the thing that you have to deal with is to realize you can still get people out inside. You just can't afford to make that mistake over the plate.
Do you think that confidence has to do with some of this, being able to transition, that guys are afraid that they're not going to actually be able to carry that out?
Yeah, I mean, because you're not, it's a totally new approach to what you do to make a living. I mean, you've always been able to be the guy that could go out and overpower people, and now all of a sudden you're having to learn how to be a finesse pitcher, and there's that fear that you can't pitch, that you have to be a totally different type of approach to be successful. But as you step back from it and as you start to evaluate what you've done, you realize that everybody has to have the same approach. It's just that when you don't throw hard, you have to be finer. And you have to get confidence in yourself that you can go ahead and be successful that way. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else can. And I think, you know, like I said, that's, to me, that's a challenge for any guy, particularly when they're used to being able to be in charge. You know, it's like the bully that suddenly gets older and has to learn how to be gracious. It's not easy.
That's a very good comparison. I think about Andy Pettit. I feel like he's a prime example of a guy that sort of had to reinvent himself. I mean, he was always more of a finesse guy for sure, but he did have, you know, injury problems and elbow problems still when he was pretty young. And he really did kind of have to, he really did reinvent himself, didn't he? A little. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, and I think other than Nolan Ryan, anyone who's had a long career has had to make those adjustments along the way. You know, they've had to learn how to do things differently. And the biggest thing they have to do is they have to get better command. And I say that because, and that's where you see with Lincecum right now. I mean, the 23 walks and 38 in the third innings when he was up with the Angels, well, that tells you real quick, he didn't have the type of command that he needed to be able to pitch the way he now has to pitch, that he's not going to blow people away. And so you're suddenly start to pick. You know, you don't throw strikes because you're hoping somebody will chase it because you're afraid if you throw a strike it's going to get hit. That all comes to the confidence factor of I'm still better than you and I can still get you out. And that's really what you have to do to make that transition. And if you're going to be successful, you're going to have that confidence come and you're going to challenge people. If you're not going to challenge them, you're not going to be able to get it done.
Absolutely. And my last topic, I just wanted to touch on, Albert Pujols. He's been actually pretty decent this year. I mean, he's signed for a long, long time. I was just looking at Mike Trout thinking, you know, he could be, hitting in a vacuum. And my philosophy is you're only as good as the guys hitting around you because just the way that you're being pitched. I mean, there wouldn't be any reason to pitch to Mike Trout if there's nobody else in the lineup. That's where Albert Pujols becomes very valuable. So I guess it's good to see that what he's doing. You just wonder how he's going to be as his 30s progress. And he is, I think, in his mid-30s now. So it's sort of a fascinating study, right, to see one of the most dominant hitters trying to continue to be able to age well and having a bigger body. It's hard to do that.
Well, and I think the other thing you have to do is, just like with a pitcher, I mean, he has to come to grips with what he's capable of now, that he's not going to hit for a 300 average anymore in all likelihood. But that's okay. If he hits his 30 home runs, which he's on pace to do this year, if he drives in his 100-plus runs, he's always going to be a feared guy in the lineup because of his strength and his power. And, again, it gets back to becoming comfortable with what you're capable of doing, being able to accept that you're not the same player you were at one time, but you can still be an impact player. You can still have a bearing on the game. And I think from talking with Albert this spring, I mean, that was one of the things he talked about at length was he was at a point of realizing the things he had to do to be the run producer that he needed to be. And the DH is a role that he was ready to accept it and not fight and not feel like he wasn't being complete because he was not playing in the field. That's that ego that you have to start to eat. But you know, if you have him and you have Trout in the 3-4 spots of your lineup, and you can put in guys like a Calhoun can get himself going again and just spark a little bit with the addition of Escobar that can hit second in that lineup. You start to have a little bit at the top of the order that can create some offense that the Angels didn't have earlier in the year. And you know, it will revolve around Pujols, because when you hit it right on the head, if Mike Trout's there all by himself, he's exposed. There's not much he's going to ever get to hit, because you know the old Barry Bonds theory wasn't it Buck Showalter that walked in with the base loaded once because he didn't want to beat him. You know, that's what happens if you don't have the right protection around you in your lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. They did. They walked with the bases loaded because it was less damage than him actually swinging the bat. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, Tracy, thank you so much. Great insight. Appreciate your time.
Okay, always fun.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.